on your door.
Uh-huh.
Gone fishing.
How real gone, man?
You ain't working anymore.
Could be.
There's your hoe out in the sun, where you left a row half done. You claim that hoeing ain't no fun.
But I can prove it.
You ain't got no ambition. Gone fishing.
I think part of that describes me pretty good.
The hoeing part?
No. No. Unfortunately, part of the, I ain't got no ambition. I'm just slowly withering it away.
Slothful Frank.
Yeah. Well, I'm the fishing part. Pastor Donnie over there is the God part. And Barry, he's kind of the ampersand, the one right in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
That's Barry.
I do my best, guys.
You're right there. And today's guest is Captain Kale. And this is God and Fishing. And you guys, you're just talking up a fishing storm here a minute ago. I walk in, you guys were over in the store at Fish and Frank's. They're talking in the reel department. You're talking all over the place.
Yeah.
We were comparing like knots, trying to up Pastor Donnie's fishing experience and put more fish in the boat is basically what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that in just a minute.
We want more fish in the boat, Frank.
All right. This is your challenge, Donnie.
Yes.
You got to give us a prayer that will encourage more fish in the boat and be able to tie better knots.
Wow, Frank. All right.
Now, go ahead.
All right.
Take a breath.
We are testing your divinity.
No.
I'm going to leave this to the Father.
Creativity.
All right. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time to be able to fellowship with our brothers here and, Father, get your word out. And, Father, to be able to have an awesome time on the show so we can get other people involved. And, Father, we ask you to continue to give us knowledge so we know how to tie the right knots, so we can bait our right hooks, so we can get more fish in the boat. And, Father, make the fish be plentiful for us. And, Father, always, always keep us safe when we're out on the water. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you top knots for everything except when you stumbled and said, and let us bait our hooks. you were doing real good. You and God were right in sync there. And all of a sudden, I don't think you heard properly. You had to stumble.
I don't know how this – I'm getting graded on prayers. How is this working over here?
I don't know.
It's like
– this. I never graded your prayers.
Oh, okay.
Before,
all right. Yeah.
But – what you're going to do is straight out good fishing prayers.
What's live, Frank? You put me on the spot here. We're talking about tying off knots. It's like, all right, God.
All right, well, I'm sure God appreciates a good knot.
He does.
You
know? Well,
a finely well-tied knot.
Help, Barry. Barry, save us.
You have to use your knowledge in order to defeat Frank.
Yeah,
tell us on the first day?
You're right.
God went to fishermen first.
He did. Right. He did go to the fishermen first.
He did.
But they were casting nets, in all fairness. They were casting nets.
Fishing is fishing.
But what
fishing
makes up a net? A lot of knots.
Whole lot of knots.
See? Good point, Barry. All right.
Oh, did I just join Frank?
This is hurting right now.
I'm so sorry.
We're
ganging up on Pastor Donnie today.
You know what?
No.
Hey, bring it on.
I'm not picking on him. I'm just
saying.
He did stumble.
I did stumble.
Isn't that what the whole, you got Christians and they stumble and they get picked back up.
That's it. That's what the Lord does.
You tie a good knot and you can pick those fish out.
Frank is preaching, ladies and gentlemen. Frank is preaching.
I think Frank's the God part here.
He is doing some God parts here. We're going to have to get him into church and let him preach on. It's awesome. You know what? We've all seriousness aside, we love coming down to Fish and Frank's. If you haven't been here, get down here. We're on the south end of Port Charlotte. If you don't know how to fish, even if you think you know how to fish, get down here. They're going to teach you a lot more stuff that you didn't know. And, it always helps me coming in here. I saw Barry. I said, Barry, I am popping lines on these big fish. And I said, I need some help tying off a line on my swivels. I said, I'm just snapping them off. And he was like, what size swivel are you using? I'm like, well, the weight that I'm supposed to be using. He was like, no, you got this all wrong. He said, go big. Go big or go home.
Bigger.
And so the small swivels are cutting my line when that heavy pressure is getting banked on it.
Watch this. We haven't had a discussion with Frank. Let's see if he matches up to what I told
you.
Frank
doesn't remember, but yeah. I've known him since he was in diapers.
Yeah, yeah. That's just because you've been around since the, like, Noah's Ark time, Frank.
I actually had this conversation with Barry years ago.
Ah.
I'm almost sure.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, but, you know, it makes sense. You're going 4 feet, 3 feet, right, 4 feet away from your hook, so the fish ain't going to see it. Yeah.
And you're going to pull up a heavy weight.
Right.
Now, on the top end of the crane, do you want a big roller there, something you can tie good to, or do you want something with a sharp point on it, small as thin as possible?
Definitely bigger and rounder. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't judge the swivels by what weight I need. I judge them by, I want a big, thick end on it so that I can tie to it. I'm putting a big sinker there, so
right.
the size of the swivel is just irrelevant. It doesn't make a dang bit of difference.
Right, even though it's rated like, some of these swivels are rated like 90 pounds, 100 pounds, but they're still micro-sized.
That's right.
Just putting that out there.
And, well, and that's what they're doing. They're making them smaller and stronger, but they don't realize it's what's snapping your line.
Cutting, yeah, huh? American Fishing Wire makes, their standard swivels are made of brass. And then they have those micro, the teeny tiny ones that, right. I mean, you can barely see the swivel that holds like 50 pounds, but it's made out of stainless steel.
Right.
Now, those are really, really good, like, for building different rigs and stuff, especially running wire. But once you're putting a braid on there, braid has a bad tendency to pop. Okay. And if you're using monofilament, it has tendency to cut.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So on both instances, I want something a little thicker. Now, there are a lot of times I want that little teeny tiny swivel to be hidden.
Right.
But grouper fishing with a big sinker is not one of them.
Right, right.
Exactly.
And you're dead on the money. I mean, you're still 3 or 4 foot off. So the fish aren't going to be looking
at
the swivel anyway.
When you say off, you mean away from the hook, right?
Yeah, away from the
hook. No, Barry, there's a lot of different definitions of off for you. Well, Frank, we're just going to go with the swivel. Okay.
You know, Frank is. Hey, Frank's
I'm
off.
Just clarifying for the audience, man.
Frank's Frank off. Is, for,
what are you? I mean, I don't know. Ready to like start kicking people down today. Man.
I'm wondering.
I had a rough day. This has been one of the worst weeks of my life.
We're going to cheer you up, Big Daddy.
I'm glad we could be your displacement for you to take it out on us.
I'm deflecting here, so deflecting. Just try not to pay any attention.
Did you notice he hasn't bothered with Cap over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't attacked Cap.
He knows better.
Oh, it's on. Okay.
Frank, tell us what's in the magical cup today.
I have not learned a thing, Cale, right now. And I'm too old to start now, so okay, go ahead.
Now, I will tell you, a lot of times when I go out there and I'm going after the lane snappers, maybe some bait fish like the squirrel fish, the nuisance fish, you know, those kind of things. Well, I'll do a line to line tie, and that way I feel I have less chance of things snapping or popping on me. Okay. I think with the braid going into the mono.
I'm going to disagree with that.
Come on, talk to me.
Now, I like your idea of the braid going into the mono. First question I ask, are you doubling the braid before you tie the knot?
Yes.
Okay, when you double the braid before you tie the knot,
you showed me that, by the way, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're just like bowing down.
It's actually okay, but there is nothing stronger than a swivel connection.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. It is way more powerful because it's not fighting the biting the braid into the mono. So
right.
You're right. It's a very strong connection. By doubling the line, you've really increased it.
Right.
But that nice, good swivel on there. Man, that's
you think,
the toughest.
You think swivel's the moneymaker, then?
Yeah, for when you're trying to pull big fish up, you're
no,
right.
No. This is just for the lanes, the squirrel, the bait fish, the smaller fish, the game fish.
It really doesn't matter. You're not putting a lot of pressure to it.
Right.
But when it counts is what you're saying, Frank, right? When it counts.
When it counts, I go big with a swivel. But, yeah, I'm talking about the lane snappers, the mangrove snappers, the squirrel fish, those things.
What size braid are we talking about?
The braid's usually between 30 and 50, depending on which pole I'm using.
Okay, 50. You know, nice thing about 50 doubled up, it is pretty thick.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
But once you're down into 30, that's a fluorocarbon cutter there. That's a real sharp edge.
All right.
On that 30.
So you go swivel with that.
With the 50, I don't know, Barry, what do you think? Doubling the line on the 50 is going to give you a lot of thickness. What size leader have you've been using?
30s. Usually I match up with my braid 30, 30, 50, 50. I don't play around with it too much.
Let's say 30-pound test, with 50-pound braid, 30-pound fluorocarbon, 50-pound braid. Doubling the 50.
When we're doing a line-to-line connection?
Yeah. What do you think of it?
Okay, just real quick. I know we're talking about mainly offshore fishing, right?
Right, right.
So when I do 30 to 50 and 30 to 60, which I do a lot for tarpon, I mean, but this is not really necessary offshore. I feel like it's very,
time-consuming. This is kind of the opposite. We're talking about 50-pound braid, 30-pound leader.
Oh.
Big braid, small leader.
Gotcha, the opposite. Okay, never mind. I was going to suggest the FG, but then, no, I wouldn't. I personally wouldn't feel the need to double the 50 if you're going to 30. No, I think that's enough cushion.
Yeah,
I would do just line.
Yeah, the lines are a lot more similar in size.
Right. Yeah. I don't think the swivel is going to be about.
If you're putting 50 onto 80 pound,
50 main
pound
line.
Braid line onto 80 pound leader, like you would for tarpon or something like
double
that, then I'm going to double it up.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I know when we first came in here, I used to do a lot of river fishing, so it was a little bit different, ideas than what we do down here now. When I came in here, one of the things we wanted to stay away from was the swivel being brought up into the first eye, maybe even the second eye, and that big clang, clang, clang beating up on that first eye. So one of the things that I came in there,
that's
and got
a loose
taught.
Screw behind the reel problem.
That's when you get somebody inexperienced on the boat.
You shouldn't have to fix that. However, being a charter captain, I understand it.
Yeah, it's an angry beast.
There is the solution for that were to leave the swivel in there. It's called a bead.
Right, you can put a little...
Yeah. Like just put a bead on, that'll catch it, and then you'll never crack the tip out of it. Mm-hmm. Once you reel that swivel in, that tip, they're made to be replaced because people do that all the time.
Yeah.
They're only on... We take a Bic lighter, light it up, and I usually hold the flame on it for about 12 seconds, take a pair of pliers, and just jerk it right off.
Right.
And then put... And you can't use hot glue... for crafts. It's got to be the glue for rod tip, because the craft glue will actually get so hot in the sun it'll just melt. It won't hold.
Okay.
It's got to be a higher temperature melting glue than the craft stuff is. But they're made to be popped on and off because people don't do the simple thing of just putting a bead on there.
Yep.
Because that hits the surface of the ceramic nice and clean, doesn't chip anything or break anything.
Good deal.
I was going to say, I just wanted to clarify, when everyone's listening, when Frank, you're mentioning about the lighter situation, you're putting it only on the metal of the eye of the rod tip. Do not touch the main rod with it, because you're going to burn it.
Do not touch the fiberglass.
I've done it. I'm just saying, I've ruined a rod because I did that. I'm like, just heat up the top part, and I did, and I burnt the tip off.
Did you notice I said you count to 12?
Yeah.
Because if you get to the point where all of a sudden it's smoking, you've cooked the resin out of... the glass.
Exactly.
And that whole last, whatever your tip is now just junk. The resin gets cooked out.
And it'll just be flimsy and useless.
You just literally got to chop it off. Yeah. Your rod gets shorter. And the same thing. You ever see these guys with the epoxy? I epoxied a new tip on. Okay, you wanted a shorter rod. I get that.
Yeah.
As soon as the rod tip cracks, I got to take a hacksaw, cut that sucker off, and drop a new tip on there instead of just popping one on and popping off.
Yeah.
But beads are the best way to fix that.
Okay. Yeah, I was attacking both the snapping off of the swivels, because the smaller swivel... smaller loop is cutting the lines a lot. So when we came down here, you said double over the braid, tie you off line to line with F6 knots, tie it off, cinch it down. You won't have to worry about the ice coming through this way, and you also won't have to worry about breaking off. And it's worked for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
now Barry's
downside is you don't have the swivel, so whenever you put down dead bait, take the tail off. If you don't, you get tangled up really quick.
Yeah,
and there's a way to fix that also.
Take the tail off.
Ball bearing swivels.
Yep.
Normal swivels, unfortunately, don't. They just don't swivel. Anything over an ounce of pressure, they quit swiveling.
Very good point.
But your ball bearing swivels will swivel no matter how much pressure you put on them. They are more expensive.
Right. The only ones that actually work, Sampo's the best. Then I would say AFW, even though it's less expensive than the Spro. But
right.
The AFW, the Spro, and the Sampo are the only three I know ball bearing swivels that actually swivel. At all the other less expensive ones,
Just a line to line connection is what they turn out
to
be.
Right.
But even when they say ball bearing, they still, I guess, when they do the finish, it doesn't, the bearings don't work right.
Well, a lot of times they're not using American steel bearings. They use that cheap Chinese stuff or cheap cheap metal.
Indian,
really.
I once right. you get that, a lot of them are made in India.
It was like the ball bearings we used to see when the ball bearing count in the reel was the big seller.
Yep. Yep.
Does it really matter if you put 37 out around Pakistani bearings in a reel?
Mm.
No.
I just had a guy in the store talking about that. He says, but I bought it from, and it's a subsidiary of some shop that's a megacorp, and I don't want to say their name because they're like giant. You see them on TV all the time.
Do it, Frank. Go ahead. Chicken.
No. They're scary. I'm not gonna get them. But they were in one of the subsidiary stores of a recently purchased chain by a larger chain. And they were told that, man, you know, all these ball bearings, this is the best reel you could buy. And I had to look guy in the eye and say, well, he lied to you.
Yep.
He wanted you to buy that reel.
That's right.
I said, 3-4 ball bearings, that's about what you want. Maybe 5. Yeah. But when you get, and he's looking at me like, oh, you're lying. You're just trying to get me to buy a new reel. I said, you know what a Mitchell 300 is?
Mm.
And he looks at me and goes, yeah. I said, they lasted pretty much decades, right? He says, yeah, right. How many ball bearings were in a Mitchell 300?
Gale? One.
No.
The reel, the...
None?
The line reel, roller bearing, had a roller bearing in it. That's it.
They actually had...
Yeah, they did have a roller bearing.
It was in the roller bearing, not even
no,
the reel.
No, not the early ones. The early ones just had the hourglass-shaped metal line roller.
Yeah, those ones didn't have... They had a bushing in them just like the rest of the
reel. It was all bushing.
Yeah.
And because we don't turn at 3,000 RPMs.
And these were cheap plastic bushings.
Right.
These weren't by any means quality bushings.
Barry, this is before our time.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's still some of them in use that were made in the '60s and stuff.
Oh yeah,
but
did the dinosaurs exist back then?
Mm.
Look at all the old pen
Frank
reels,
one.
The Ocean Cities and the pens that are still around today.
Yep.
Little to no ball bearings, one to none.
Yep.
Because they go bad as soon as you get a piece of sand in it, grit, salt.
You know, honestly, think the salt water, the sand, all this plays a major factor in there. And you know, be honest. How many people actually take the reel apart every single time they go out fishing?
Never.
Tear it down, clean it up like it's supposed to be cleaned up. Next thing you know, you're going to have issues out of.
And please don't ever take your reel apart. And I'll post a video on how to do it. Never take your reel apart. Ever. Ever. Never.
Wait. You're going to show us a video of how to do it, but don't ever do it.
If you decide to
how about
do
you
it.
Just
I will
how about not doing a video of not doing it?
You can
how about doing that video, Frank? How about doing a video of not do this?
I just did one right now.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're doing a video to show people what not to do, and then yet you're doing
not
it.
Not to do it.
That's a double negative, Frank. Way to call them out, Donnie.
I've got two kids out there that are going to watch the show, and then all they're going to hear is don't do this, and they're going to do exactly
but
what
I
you're doing in the video.
On what not to do.
Exactly not to do this. And I'm going to tell you got blooming idiots out there that are being raised by dandelions. I mean, you know? They're overeducated idiots, Frank. We don't need your help to dumb us down anymore. Okay. Just make a video of not doing a video, and there you go.
The tides have turned in this show. Frank is in a fetal position back there.
Mama! Help!
That's what you get for picking on us. That's how you work this. All right, on the lighter side, I have to tell you guys, we went out yesterday. Well, actually, we went out a couple of days ago with Captain Steve. Everybody knows him from Fish and Franks.
You mean Peg Leg.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's don't funny tell me you're politically correct. I'm sure every morning when he gets up, he looks down and goes, oh, what the heck happened to my leg?
Well,
Frank has always called us the pirate crew, and we actually have a real one now.
Yeah, we got a peg leg now.
Father. All right, in all defense, I knew everybody down on here by nicknames because I don't know everybody's names. I have to work on names. I call you Tarpon Dude, and that's it. And so, Cap, that's Kale. And then, so, you know, Frank, I called you, well,
Butthead. No, well, yeah, it was a little harsher version, but I'm sure
I called you Noah's brother with the, you never mind. But anyway, so I called Steve.
I'm the one who rode the what?
What?
The dinosaur
to him from school. So I talked to Steve. He's on our boat, and we're way out there. And I was like, dude, I said, I now know your name, Steve. He said, what have you been calling me all these years? I was like, Gimpy. But, you know.
That's what I call him.
I didn't know. I mean, you know. And
he'll
I tried.
Answer, he'll yeah, answer, he'll answer to it.
But this guy is knowledgeable. He's fun. I had a great time with him. And he's like everybody else in the shop. They're going to tell you the truth. If they know it, they're going to tell you. We had a phenomenal day catching fish. We didn't go over to the wreck like we was going to. We ended up going deep and fishing the whole nine yards. So yesterday, I took Dad out fishing at the wreck with Steve's information. Plus, he helped me out with my screen and stuff like that. So I tow off my rigs. We go over and we catch Dad a cobia. And he fought for about 20 minutes, and then he snapped us pretty quick. Then he brought in a barracuda on a 30-pound line with the smallest pole. And we just had another phenomenal day of fishing. And so I just got to tell everybody in the radio land, get down here to Fishing Frank's, learn a little bit about the information. I don't care if you think you're a veteran. Get down here, get the information, and you know the guys down here don't lie to you.
I appreciate
it's good stuff.
That.
And that's the one thing that we do different. We have guides here at the shop that will take you fishing, teach you fishing down here.
Yep.
Most of the places that you go, if you take out a charter captain, he holds everything tight to his chest.
That's right.
We're going to teach you how to fish out here, how to be successful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Just as a little caveat to that, too, it's pretty interesting. Even on the water, I'm not going to lie, like this, even this past summer, it was amazing where I got everyone in Radio Land's heard of Richie. I'll be on the boat with Richie. Like Captain Carl will be on the water. And there'll be some other, you know, captains from this store, like Chandler will be out there. We're all calling each other, where are the fish? And when we find the fish, we all, like, fish together, but away from each other and cheering each other on when someone else hooks up. Like, that, to me, was, like, that's a lot of fun on the water when there's everyone's respecting. Everyone wants everyone to catch fish.
Yep.
You call each other over. You have a good time. And, I don't know, I think that's very, that's something that's very, like,
hard. It's a lot more fun than a redfish tournament where everybody is SOB, MF-er.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot more relaxed.
Right.
The one thing that I ought to tell you boys and girls out there in Radio Land is I'm otherwise known as Fishing Frank, and I own a tackle store. And I'm very lucky to be associated with all these people. And they're all talking about, pretty much all of them help out or work in the store, or they're just good friends of me in the store. So I want to thank you guys. That was pretty unsolicited. What I would like to get into, and Barry mentioned, there's a lot of different knots you can tie. Now, you were talking about the FG knot, because when you're doing big fish and, you know, no swivel, and it'll go up in the guides. But the first basic knot you have to learn, what you call the six knot, is called the uni knot.
Mm-hmm.
Because of today's world, when they introduced braided line, almost had to quit selling it. We could not get a knot to hold in it.
It would slip because it's a thin diameter, right?
It doesn't shrink, and if you go around the line six times back through the loop, that's a clinch knot. If you go around twice, you know, you've got the Berkeley knot version, but they're all based on a clinch knot, cinch knot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in order for that to work, it's got to be able to squeeze down the main line. You're pulling real hard on it, getting it to squeeze and cinch into it. Braid doesn't squeeze or cinch.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, you get a big fish on it, ping, and the fish is gone. And that was the knot pulling out. They said, my line broke. I said, your line didn't break. You're not just pulled out. There's no pigtail on it. It's not plastic.
Braid doesn't pigtail on you, right?
Exactly. Right. If you're going to fish with braid and line, and just all in general, you really want to switch over to the uni knot, because the uni knot is what the whole basis of your fishing is. Donnie, why don't we say a prayer for better knots and better fishing and a better life?
Yes, sir.
Pray not to catch that little Chinese guy on the bottom, Zing Pao.
All right, you're going to have to tell me that story later.
It's very simple. When you catch a fish and your knot fails, Zing Pao!
Wow. I like that one. All right, here we go. What was I doing, Frank? Oh, yeah, I remember. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for this time. Hopefully, Father, everybody got some educational information out of this. And, Father, we again want to ask you to help us when we're out on the water to keep us safe. Always return us home to our dear loved ones. And, Father, make sure that we're tying these lines off correctly, whether it be the swivel, the hook, whatever it is, so that we can catch more fish and we can enjoy the day out there like we want to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And maybe forgive me for my mouth and my attitude, but or my sense of humor. But other than that, you know, it was all good.
Yeah. Wow. All time low. We won not here.
Well, thank you all for listening to God and Fishing. I'm the fishing part. Pastor Donnie's the God part. And Barry's the middle part. He kind of connects the whole thing. We'll catch you.
On the swivel.
He's that swivel.
I connect.
No, we will connect with you again via swivel or properly tied knot. Bye.
By a shady, weighty pool.
Shangri-La. Really la.
I'm wishing I could be that kind of fool.
Shall I twist your arm?
I'd say no more work for mine.
Welcome to the club.
On my door I'd hang a sign, gone fishing, instead of just a wishing.
Papa Bing, I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You aren't tied up, you dog. You're just plain old gone fishing.